We thank the Lord for his goodness to us and his mercy. I've been singing this song, it's 101, this past week. I am his child. I wanted to notice a few verses in here. It says, I'd like to read verse 2. When in the furnace of trial I stand, my Savior beside me doth hold to my hand. Be faithful, he whispers, in accents so mild, the flames cannot harm me, for I am his child. When clouds thickly gather and hide from my view, the face of my Savior his eye pierces through. He keeps me from being by Satan beguiled. Securely I'm resting, for I am his child. And in the last verse, it talks about even going through the valley of death, that he would keep our spirit. He'll take us to heaven. But I want to notice the first verse. It says, my heavenly Father is caring for me. That's the title of my message this morning. I want it to be personal. I want us to personalize it, each one, that my heavenly Father is caring for me. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing that God, how he is looked down upon humanity, and how I believe one verse says he opens his hand and feeds every living thing. You know, this is a pretty big earth, pretty big circumference. There's a lot of sparrows on the earth, and he knows about every one of them. And one writer in Psalms, he said, surely such one knowledge is too wonderful for me. He talked about he knows my uprisings, my sitting down, being formed in the womb. In his book, all of our members were written. And he said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. We want to believe in the care of our Heavenly Father today. We want to have faith and believe. I know some of us had good earthly fathers and some of us didn't have so good of earthly fathers. But regardless, you can take probably the best earthly father you can find and multiply it many, many, many times to know that the Lord is a heavenly Father that cares for his people, that watches over us. I want to go to Genesis, the first chapter, and I love this account. I don't believe it happened this way by accident. I believe God had a purpose in everything he did and everything he does. In Genesis 2 and 7, it said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Here is God. He formed Adam. He made man from the dust of the ground. He formed him. It said he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And I believe it happened that way. He formed man from the dust of the ground. In verse 18, And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. You know, he formed man from the dust of the ground. He formed the animals from the dust of the ground. And Adam saw male and female of the animals. But it said there was not found an helpmeet for him. And God said it's not good for the man to be alone. And now we have the first surgery performed. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, I don't know why I know this is a purpose in this, but I think of a rib as being from the side. That God created man, he created woman to go through life side by side, joined together. Do you see the love of God, the care of the Heavenly Father, and what He has created, what He has bestowed? I thank the Lord for my wife. She's been a big, great blessing to me for be 40 years this year. 40 years. She's put up with me for 40 years. That's a miracle. All of my shortcomings, all the things that I thought I knew that I didn't know, all of my idiosyncrasies, all of my quirks, she has stood by my side. And she's still there after 40 years. She's been a great blessing to me. She gets my attention and helps me notice things that maybe I don't see. I need that. I need that. It's not good for man to be alone. We're handicapped without a good partner to walk side by side. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You know, it's a beautiful thing that God, I know sin has destroyed, selfishness has destroyed the beautiful thing that God has intended in our world today, but it's still a beautiful thing to me to see a husband and wife and family that love the Lord and they love each other, and that's a great blessing, but it shows the mindfulness of God. You know, the Lord, He didn't create Eve first. It was like He created the animals. It was like to bring a recognition to Adam. And when He brought Eve to Him, You know, Adam was very pleased. He was very blessed. You know, he saw the animals, they had male and female. And now here was a counterpart for him to love, to talk to be with, to enjoy. That's a great blessing from our Heavenly Father that He was mindful of us in that. It shows the care of God. And I think about the earth today. I think about all the things the Lord has created, the seas, the stars, the planets, the trees, the mountains, the plains, the desert, all the variety that God has given to us on planet Earth. Was there, I believe it was for our enjoyment, for our comfort, the beauty that we see. I've often said if it wasn't for sin, this would be wonderful right here. If it wasn't for sin, this would be spectacular. It would be great. But I know sin has caused a lot of heartache, a lot of hurt, a lot of trouble and disappointment. But God, He created it and He said it's good. Everything that the Lord created, He said it was good. But it shows the kindness of our Heavenly Father to us. My Heavenly Father is caring for me. Do we have that knowledge this morning? Do we have that faith? That recognition that my Father is caring for me? That He's watching over me? That He's looking out for my good, for my benefit, for my blessing? He's watching out and He's caring for us. And I believe the Scriptures bear that out in different places. I want to go to the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter. John, the 3rd chapter, and the 14th verse. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You know, God didn't send His Son here to condemn us, and sometimes the enemy of our soul would like to twist things in our mind to make us feel that God, our Heavenly Father, is not a God of love, that He's condemning, that He's there to make things hard, make things difficult, that He's there to cause us trouble. The enemy brings things to our mind and, like, you know, the Lord loves His people, but not you. The devil does that. It's a lie. He brings feelings. He likes to isolate people in their their mind and their spirit and make them feel alone and make them feel separated and make them feel oppressed and down. The devil is a hard taskmaster, and he's faithful at his relentlessness. But it's very important for us this morning to perceive a heavenly Father that the Scriptures proclaim and describe. We heard the verse this morning that God is love. He is love. He gave His only begotten Son because He loved the world. He didn't send Jesus down here to push us down. We were already down. We were already lost. But He sent Jesus to lift us up and to save us and to help us. So if we face that condemning voice that wants to crush, that wants to... There's another scripture that said, a smoking flax He'll not quench. You know, a smoking flax is not really a blaze. It's just signals from a blaze that maybe at one time was there. But it said He'll not quench the smoking flax. In other words, the Lord is not wanting to put it out. And sometimes people have that in their mind and spirit that God is looking for a place to cut them off. And that's not our Heavenly Father today. Another place it mentions, He said, let that which is lame not be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. He wants healing. He wants our benefit. He wants our help. He wants to bless and to help us through our journey of life. My Heavenly Father is caring for me. My bark He is guiding over life's raging sea. You know, the Lord has His hand over His people. He has His hand. He knows the things that touch our life. There's another song that came to me this morning. It says, we have a Heavenly Father above, His eyes full of mercy, His heart full of love. He sees inside you the pain that you bear. He sees down inside, and He wants to heal. He wants to comfort. He wants to quicken and strengthen. The devil's the total opposite. He wants to destroy. He wants to devour. He wants to hurt and harm and destroy. But we have a Heavenly Father above, His eyes full of mercy, His heart full of love. You know, I remember Jonah at the end of the, in talking to the Lord, he said, was not this my thought when I left? I knew that You were a merciful, a merciful God. You know, He said He was going to destroy Nineveh, but the people repented. They got down in sackcloth and ashes. And Nineveh went out and got up on the hill so he could see the destruction of the city. He didn't see what was going on in the city. Those people proclaimed a fast. They humbled their hearts. They were seeking God. And God showed mercy. God showed love and help to them. He spared them through His love. You know, the Lord does chasten us. He does correct us in our life. But it's with love. The Scripture in Hebrews brings out that it's for our profit, for our betterment, for our blessing. Just like an earthly father would guard his child from something dangerous that would hurt him, the Heavenly Father does the same thing for us. He watches over us. He cares for us. I wanted to go, we don't have to turn there. 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The Lord cares for us. And we want to believe that this morning. We want our faith to take in that God is looking out for our good. He never promised that there wouldn't be difficulties in life. There is difficulties. But I think maybe most of our difficulties are from the things that we do, from the messes we make that the Lord tries to fix. He does correct us. But it's always in love. It's for our betterment, our good, and for our purpose, our benefit. And He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I mentioned last Wednesday night, a while back, about the prodigal son and the elder brother. And I wanted to speak on that because I really felt that God gave that to me about the elder son. The elder son, he didn't leave home like the prodigal. He didn't waste his substance in riotous living. But when the prodigal came back, the elder son, he heard music at the house, and he asked the servant, "What's going on?" And the servant told him, he said, "Well, your brother has come back." And he was mad. He was in a rage because the father had killed the fatted calf, had given him a good robe, put a ring on his hand, on his finger. The father had gone out looking down that road for a long time, looking for that return of that prodigal son. His heart longed after him. And when he came back, he rejoiced. And it was meet. He said that to his older son. He said it was meet for us to rejoice. But he told the elder son, he said, "All I have is thine. All that I have is yours." But somehow the elder son was not enjoying his father. He wasn't enjoying what he had. He was jealous. He was envious of his younger brother that came back. And the father told him, "All that I have is yours." That challenges me this morning. And I believe today that God wants us to enjoy the journey. He wants us to enjoy our relationship with Him. He wants us to put our heart into it. But He wants us to enjoy His presence, being with Him, seeking Him, looking to Him. I think if the elder son would have asked for a fatted calf to rejoice with his friends, I think the father would have gave it to him. It sounds like to me, that's the picture I get from the account. Lord, help our faith to enter in to the Father's love and to enjoy the good things that He gives us, the blessings that's there. He wants us to enjoy our wives. He wants us to enjoy our children. He wants us to enjoy the beautiful sunshine. He wants us to enjoy, you know, the devil would like to steal and rob. And I know sometimes he brings things can weigh in on our hearts and our minds and kind of cloud these from us, but I've been challenged today, enjoy the Lord. Enjoy His presence. The Scripture said, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In our approach to God, Jesus taught us to pray. He said, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. Beautiful prayer. Simple prayer. Meets the needs of life. Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. To honor God, to love Him, to serve Him, to enjoy what He's given, to enjoy His Word, to delight in the Scriptures, to delight and let it feed and minister your heart and your soul and your spirit. You know, they said, I heard the statement years ago, to use you, personalize the Scriptures. That it's a letter to you. That God means these things for you. My Heavenly Father is caring for me. We want to come to Him in that way with a heart of faith, believing that we can enjoy, that He can kill the fatted calf, that all things that are His are ours. God has made Himself vulnerable. The many promises that the Lord has given to us, our lack of unbelief hinders what God wants to do. Our lack of faith can hinder what God can do in our lives. So we want to, sometimes our feelings will tell us that God doesn't love us, God doesn't care for us. We don't listen. We state firmly, I believe faith is a choice. Because there's going to be times that we feel that way. There's going to be times that we feel unloved. But I choose to believe. I set my faith and my choice to believe in the goodness and care of my Heavenly Father. And I know each one of us can look back over our lives, and we have to recognize that the Lord has been merciful. I don't know anybody would stand up and say, I haven't needed the mercy seat. God has been very merciful to forgive us if we failed, if we come short, we go back because there's a fountain opened. That we can go to. He's had His hand over our lives. He's been there to help us. There's been hard times. That song mentioned that. It mentioned hard time, but it said He there to hold our hands to see us through. And He promised that He would never leave us or forsake us. So I want to encourage us and challenge. My heart's encouraged so much this way. Let's enjoy. There's a fullness. The elder son, he didn't have to be jealous. If he would have been enjoying the fullness that his father and everything that his father, enjoying the father himself, enjoyed being in his presence, enjoyed companionship, If he would have been full, he could have said to the younger brother, "Thank God. There's plenty here to spare." There's a storehouse. The Father has a storehouse. Of things, of good things, to bless and help us in our life. It's a beautiful thing what God has done. All that He's made available to us. He's opened His heart. He gave His Son. He's opened everything up to us. He told His disciples, I've told you all things that I've received of my Father. He wasn't hiding things from them. We have a Heavenly Father whose eyes are full of mercy, whose heart is full of love. Don't you like to be around people that you feel loved? You know, they just give you a big old hug and they're just warm, and they would help you if you were in a bind or needed some help. That's the way our Heavenly Father, and I'm so thankful today that we can serve such a wonderful Heavenly Father. And you think this is good down here? Wait till we get up there. It's going to be wonderful. Pray for me.